Hello and welcome back to the Parallax Perspectives podcast. Thank you for being here. And if it's your first time tuning in, well, my name is Daniel Lawson. I'll be your host for this episode. And I'd love to invite you to check out some of the previous episodes that we've been through. There is incredible wisdoms and insights that our guests have been sharing, and also some of my favorite conversations that I believe that we're not having enough of in this world. And so bringing extra awareness, extra perspectives into how it is that we're creating and shaping our lives, and specifically for a life to fall in love with. I think that is a really incredible intention to be embarking on and becoming the best version of ourselves that we can be for ourselves, but also for others, and becoming that model of demonstration, that catalyst of change and inspiration in the lives of others. It's just from what I've seen within my own lives, my own life, and the lives of those that I've worked with, it's just a really great way to continue to build purpose and meaning in what it is that we're achieving and doing here in this time that we have available. So thank you so much. This episode is another conversation that I believe that we see all around us all the time. Yet again, it's not a conversation that we're having. And it's the underestimated power of consistency and how to develop it. It was inspired by a recent episode in one of the programs that I run, Morning Mastery or Morning Mastery Club. And it's all about developing and building really strong habits, routines, and rituals to elevate your morning that really cascade into incredible days, weeks, months, years. And it's all about installing those really powerful habits, the habits that are going to align to who it is that you're becoming and creating the epic days, as I say. And one of the big challenges that came up is consistency. It's like what Robin Sharma, author of the 5 AM Club, says is that it takes 66 days, and 66 days to break the old habits, because everything that we do is either a habit or a non-habit. And so to break those habits and reinstall or to install the really functional, healthy, serving habits that are going to allow us to become who it is that we want. And yet 66 days is a long time for many people. You know, we live in this age of or instant gratification, which we're going to dive into in just a moment through the episode, but it holds a lot of people back. So inspired by that conversation, I thought, well, I'll bring it here. Let's serve it up to you as the audience here on the Parallax Perspectives podcast. I'd love to hear at the end of this comment below. I turn the comments on. I'd love to hear your insights, of course, or to reach out to me or bring more conversation into something that's so powerful. So I wonder, as you're listening, what's coming up for you at the moment? Just check in with yourself. Have you been challenged by consistency, and specifically consistency where it matters? I think a lot of us are consistent in the areas that don't serve us. It seems to be the way. But maybe you have already considered that you could develop more consistency in an area that you want to develop even more of, and start getting more of the results that it is that you really truly appreciate. And also that consistency and bring appreciation to consistency being one of the main criteria to success. If you really consider, you know, given success in anything, it never happens immediately. You know, it requires repeated action, right? Over and over. That's really what consistency is. And well, maybe, you know, so you could say somebody just got lucky, or, you know, you could say they were successful in, I don't know, investing in crypto or in the financial markets. I'd probably call that more lucky, because consistency is what allows you to build upon the success. You can replicate the action. And, you know, if you look at all real sustainable success, success that you can leverage and scale, all success leaves clues. And the ability to be consistent is one of those clues. Look at anyone that has created success in their lives, and it has required an incredible amount of consistency. It's not always seen on the front end, because, you know, you see these overnight successes and you're like, oh, wow, and they just landed the big time. But you pull back the curtain, or you look behind the scenes and where it is that they've come from. I haven't seen an example where they didn't work and turn up and show up consistently to suddenly get that overnight success for an incredible amount of time. And so consistency, it's such an important conversation. It's really, and like, consider this. It's ridiculous how I think, I believe we all forget this at times, and including myself, that doing the same thing with a smaller effort over a consistent period of time equals a major compounding effect. Doing the same thing with a smaller effort for a consistent period equals a major compounding effect. But it's not what most people do. Most people show up inconsistently. And so, what do I mean by inconsistently? They're like, have a sudden burst of inspiration or motivation and turn up with a high amount of action. Again, I think this is kind of what our society is teaching us, especially in hustle culture or entrepreneurship. Action, massive action, take massive action. So we're like, yes, I'm going to do it. And you show up with a high amount. It's not sustainable. So then it happens every now and then. And you know what? Every time it turns into horrible results. It just doesn't get the results that it is that we want. And it's because those sudden bursts, those huge inconsistent action points aren't sustainable. And so that isn't consistency. Consistency is a smaller effort over a sustained period of time. And that compounding effect is amazing. If we compare it to, say, compounding interest, for example, I hope or trust that if you haven't looked into it, just look at what happens when you put even like $100 in the bank account and compound that interest, even at a relatively low interest rate. Over a period of time, that compounding effect is incredible. So that's how we need to start looking at our actions and our consistency, right? But my big question for you to ponder on now is, if this is the case, and now that I've explained it, I'm sure you've probably already considered this and you've already heard it, it's not new. If this is the case and we have some awareness around it, why have most people still not developed this ability to be consistent, to show up over a period of time? I've noticed some themes. I think it's important that we notice our own themes. Because when we identify the challenges, then we can overcome them. As we say in coaching, for 80% of the work is awareness. Until we have an awareness of the challenge or the problem or where we're holding ourselves back, we can't do anything about it. We can't take responsibility for it. We have no power to change it. So the first thing is we got to have a look at where or what the problem is that's holding us back from being consistent. There's two major themes I've noticed that seems to ring true, at least within my audience, my network, the people that I've worked with, and it kind of boils down to two things. Of course, there's others, these are generalizations, but for the time that we got here, I'd love to dive into them and share them with you, and maybe you'll resonate with them and amongst others. But I think the real important thing is finding and understanding what is most true for ourselves. And so, for a lot of people, when I ask this question, like I'll ask on, say, the Morning Mastery Program, the Morning Mastery Club episode that the group coaching that we're doing the other day, I asked them, what have been your challenges when it comes to consistency for creating a really great outcome? And the typical answers are like impatience or not knowing if what I'm doing is working or not. It's boredom. It's uncomfortable. And then there's a whole range of different avoidance, distraction, procrastination type strategies that come in. And it still boils down to these two major themes that I've noticed. The first one is not having a criteria for success or a successful strategy for the desired outcome. And the second one is that they get bored with the mundane repetitiveness of consistency. So let's dive into these two a little bit more and how we can start framing these. The first one, not having a successful strategy or criteria for your desired outcome, sorry, is really important. But before we can have a successful strategy for the desired outcome, the key part here is, what is the desired outcome? You'll hear me talk about this a lot. You know what it is that you don't want, but what is it that you do? Most people don't know really what it is that they want. Most people are running a strategy to get away from, move away from whatever the current reality is, and not a strategy to move towards what it is that they want. And the problem with this, and we could do a whole episode of this, but the problem with this is, well, as long as if we run that strategy, as long as we're moving away from what we don't want, then any result will do, as long as it's not that. Can you see how that's not really a strategy into getting more of what it is that you want? It could be, the result could be something as equally as uncomfortable or equally as something that you don't like. And so you do that enough times and it feels very repetitive and still going, oh, at the end of it, I've got 10 different outcomes and none of them is what I really wanted because there's no intention of moving towards what it is that you do. So that's the first part is the desired outcome. Let's, given that you're here, I trust that you're into personal development, personal growth, and more awareness, and you probably have some idea of how to shape and be intentional about your desired outcome. Now, the reason why not having a criteria or success strategy to your desired outcome is so destructive is that if you don't know what your criteria is, you don't know what will give you the results. Like, how are you going to create the results without having that strategy in place, that criteria? And if you don't know what your criteria, and what I mean by criteria, it's the benchmarks, it's the KPIs. If you've ever been in corporate, it still gives me the shivers, KPIs, key performance indicators. It's the competencies. But it's so important because if we don't know what they are, we don't know what actions to take and exactly what strategy to follow. It'd be like trying to, I'm a baker, or I'm not a baker, but I'd like to make a chocolate cake. If I don't have a recipe, oh my God, that would, I don't know what would come out of it. We need a recipe for success so we can mix this part, put this piece in, show up to that part. And if we follow it, if we develop it, and when we build the competencies at each step of the way, you get the outcome. The problem is not if you don't have that, then you're relying on hope or luck. And hope or luck is not a strategy because you can't replicate it, you can't scale it, you don't know what gave you the results, and it's not sustainable over time. It would be like your investment strategy of going to the casino and putting your money on red. Putting all your chips on one color or trying to spread the board, but it's going to work against you most of the time. Or just trying to play the lottery. And that's your success strategy. It's not a success strategy, it's relying on hope or luck. So, what's the problem with this? What I've seen it in emerging entrepreneurship, I've seen it in relationship building, I've seen it in business, I've seen it in all areas of life, because as you may have heard, the way we do one thing is the way that we do everything. I love that. And that's why I love coaching so much, is when we can unlock a strategy in one point and then start applying it to all areas of our lives, it starts unlocking so much more about life. But the problem with this is when people rely on hope or luck, or as I heard in like emerging entrepreneurship, oh, good things take time. We'll just wait and we'll get the results. Well, no. If you're running an unsuccessful strategy, you're always just going to get the same results over and over again. It's like that quote of Albert Einstein. I'm not going to repeat it. I'm sure you've heard it a million times already. But that's not a successful strategy. So what happens is relying on hope or luck, they don't get the results, they give up. Maybe you do get lucky, but you can't replicate these results. You don't know what it was that produced them. Unless you know the criteria, you don't know what produced them. And so what happens then? Well, keep changing the actions or the strategies. And then what happens is you get inconsistent results. If you get inconsistent results over time, you see that in business, you're always trying to reinvent the wheel. It's exhausting. And so I think a lot of people like that outcome because it means it's a bit more interesting. And we'll touch on this in point number two. That consistency is boring. It's not sexy. So they want to switch it up. But again, if you want really good, solid, consistent success, we need a consistent process. So inconsistencies, often it means giving up because they get tired of always switching it up. And then, of course, as I mentioned, trusting in the process, good things take time. If you're consistently doing the wrong thing, what ends up happening? I saw this is in affiliate marketing. Why most people aren't successful. If you really look at affiliate marketing or network marketing, there's nothing inherently wrong with it, but so many people, I believe it's the targeting, the people that buy into it. There's so many people that are unsuccessful with it because they haven't developed the skill of consistency through having a process that really works at understanding the criteria to success. So what do we do instead? That's a really great question. If that's what most people are doing, how can we reframe our thinking to do something different that's going to lead to the results that it is that we want? So the first major point, as, and I hope that you're starting to get a sense of, if you've been on this podcast for a while and doing personal development, we always need to start, well, know your outcome. And not only just knowing your outcome, but having an outcome that's in alignment to your conscious values. And what do I mean by conscious values? It's the values that you're consciously developing. They don't necessarily need to be your current values, but the values that you're cultivating within you that are in alignment with who it is that you want to become. Most people, until they become aware of this, don't consciously have values that they're working towards. And so your outcome needs to be in alignment with it. So many people are out of an alignment and then wonder why they can't continually show up and bring consistency to the actions that they're cultivating and they're practicing because it's out of alignment. Unconsciously, why would you bother? Why would you want to keep showing up? So it needs to be, the first point needs to be having your outcome in alignment with your conscious values that you're developing. Now, providing you've done that, maybe you've got some personal coaching, maybe you're already working together. I know so many of you as my clients are tuned into this podcast and we're doing this work. I think it's really wonderful. If you're not one of my clients, maybe you should be, or with your coach. I honestly believe everyone should have a coach. I've got a coach, everyone. And you know, in this day and age where there's more coaches than ever before, I think it's a really, really wonderful place to be because we can have more of these conversations. So the next thing that we need to do is to get the strategy, the success strategy, or the criteria to hit that outcome. And I think this is a criteria on how to select your coach. A lot of people don't have very favorable opinions about coaches, but I believe that it's not all just the coach's fault. You know, of course, there's a lot of crappy coaches out there, but there's a lot of people that I believe that they need to have a criteria of how to select their coach. And one of those criteria should be work with the person that knows the strategy, the success strategy to hit the outcome that you're going for. Ask them, what are your benchmarks for success in X area? And the benchmarks and then the sub competencies. So the sub competencies are going, developing this attribute, developing this characteristic, developing this part or this energetic way of showing up. We need to develop that to get this outcome. And if you can find a coach that can articulate that correctly, chances are you're going to have a much higher success rate because they're going to coach you specifically on what it is that you need. Now, maybe it's going to take some coaching just to even get there, going back to going, okay, what are my conscious values going to be? But the point is, you need to get the success strategy, the criteria that hit that outcome. You want to make a chocolate cake, you want the recipe that's going to give you the chocolate cake, not the recipe to make a coffee. That's a totally different outcome. Is it a bad outcome? No, I love coffee. But if you want a chocolate cake, get that recipe. And then the third thing that we need to do is develop those competencies. So once you've got the success strategy, you've got the criteria to hit that outcome. Well, now we can go away and hit those and develop those competencies that are required. Just because you got the strategy doesn't mean that you're going to get the results right away. Of course not. There's some things that we need to do to practice, develop, bring more awareness to. And it's like anything, this is where you can apply good things take time with the understanding it takes time to develop who it is that you need to become. Do we get things correct right away? Of course not. It takes time. It takes practice. It takes showing up. But it also takes awareness of what you're showing up to. And these are the competencies that are aligning to the success strategy that's going to give you the outcome that it is that you want. And so once you know these steps, how would you feel about applying consistency? See, once you know exactly what it is that you're showing up to, most people, and I've seen this over and over again, they feel motivated, they feel inspired, they're enthusiastic, they trust themselves to get it. There's an inherent confidence because even though it's like, okay, I'm not great at this part of it, say for public speaking, I can go and stand up on stage and there's so many areas that I need to work on and I'm still nervous and all these kind of things that come up, but at least I know what it is that I am at least attending to rather than trying to fake it, fake it till we make it, worst advice ever. I'm there with an intention to develop the competencies that's going to give me the outcome. And so I feel confident with that. I feel enthusiastic. I'm excited that I'm in alignment of doing what it is that I came here to do and understanding exactly what's going to give me the results. It kind of aligns to a whole nother conversation, but just what came up for me then is keeping the promises that you make to yourself aligns with trust. I think it must be one of the most important pieces of building self-trust. Too many people overpromise and under-deliver with others, but also with themselves, versus setting achievable actions based on their competencies and then achieving them. So I'm not going to go into that too much detail. Maybe we could do a whole session on that. But I think keeping the promises, if you understand that, keeping the promises that you make to yourself is going to be something that allows you to build a lot of trust as well. So let's jump into the second point here. What I notice is getting bored with the mundane repetitiveness of consistency. Have you ever felt that? What happens when you get bored of repetitiveness? Usually it results in changing the process, doing something different, which equals inconsistency, which then equals a hope or luck strategy. See, and I think what we need more of in this world is that developing the art of, and I think it is an art, the art of delayed gratification. The art of delayed gratification. Think about it this way. It's like it's the opposite of what the world is teaching us right now. What is it that we're seeing in the world? Everything, more than ever. I almost want to say, back in my day, I'm only 35, but even just the last 5 years or 7 years, however old you are, just think back, like what has changed in the world? And one of the big things is that we become more and more accustomed to is instant results. Just think about marketing of online business. Make your first 10K online by doing this simple thing in the next 30 days or 60 days or whatever they're trying to promise. Or Uber Eats. Oh, I'm so hungry. Swipe, tick box. Okay, there it is. The food's on the door. Or I've been working on my business. This is me, by the way. Working on my business for the last 70 hours this week. I feel a bit lonely now. I don't want to work anymore. Great, got Tinder. Let's start swiping. Cool, got a date. Let's go out for a drink. It's no work required. Or messaging. Everything's done through text. I don't know. I talked to my parents and how it was all, or my grandparents, it was all about letters, writing letters to someone. How crazy is that? And you got to wait for like a month if you want to write a letter to someone overseas. Well, actually, the first time I went to Europe from New Zealand to contact my mum, it was a big deal. And it was like, we did have phones at least. But all of these things are instant gratification. We can just get instantly snap our fingers and we've got exactly what it is that we want. I believe it goes even deeper than that. The whole conversation about mood fixing. What we see in the world is, and this theme, this culture of going, you don't like the way you're feeling. You don't want to feel that way. Let's change it. And it's really destructive when it comes to emotional intimacy and closeness with our own feelings. Because if we only ever, we're being trained or we're training ourselves and having this unconscious acceptance that we can only feel exactly the way we want to, which means that there's a whole world of emotions that we don't want to feel depending on our conditioning, let's not feel that. Let's push it, let's suppress it, let's disconnect from it. And that's not okay. So what we're being taught is don't feel that way. You're not allowed to feel that way. Let's fix that. If you feel that way, there's something wrong with you. And then subconsciously, we tell ourselves that I feel this way, something's wrong with them. And no, there's nothing wrong with you. You're human. It's called being a fully healthy, functional human being. So again, we have the instant results that fix our mood. Maybe it's a dopamine rush, the di addiction dis to distraction from the discomfort of life. It's all instant gratification. And I think this is a real big challenge when it comes to building consistency, because consistency is that mundane repetitiveness that is boring. Consistency is boring. Let's face it. It's not sexy. It's mundane. It's repetitive. It's what consistency is. Look at any success. Financial success. Boring, repetitive income. Maybe it is cool that you make your first $10,000 online. That's exciting. Think about month number six when you've got $10,000 online over and over and over again. It's not exciting to hit to see that same income. It doesn't matter where you are. The first time around, cool, exciting, dopamine rush. Later on down the track, you see the same amount hit your bank account. It's no longer sexy anymore. It's no longer exciting. You're just like, that's what you expect, right? But that's what financial success is. Fitness success. It means long runs. It means lots of reps. It means showing up to the gym. It's not sexy. I wanted to become a runner, but 5Ks in, I'm like, this is boring. I try to distract myself with the podcast episodes or the music or going for more interesting places. But that's fitness success. It's what it takes. Relationship success. Relationship success is, well, really the same partner for years on end. I haven't been married for 30 years. But I'd imagine there's times where it's kind of a bit boring. Yeah, it's the same thing over and over again. But that's what relationship success is. It's consistency. It's showing up to that same person and the good and the bad and the frustration and the happy times and the excitement and the joy and all the other things. You get to experience all of it. Or health success. You know, the funny thing with health success is there's nothing wrong. You know, isn't that funny? Like, there's nothing wrong with you. Health success is not having the excitement of, I don't know, some people get excited about going and doing tests and getting results and trying to figure out somewhere where they can improve, and I'm all for improvement. But there's like almost this addiction to going, oh, there's something I need to be working on from a negative point because it's more interesting that way. Health success is just being healthy and there's nothing wrong with you. So it draws the question when I was having this conversation in our in Morning Mastery, somebody said, but Dan, I have a need for variation. And I was like, yes, of course, likewise. I used to call myself the adventurepreneur coach, which within that was variation, adventure, challenge, change, excitement, spontaneity. These are all real needs. A lot of people have spontaneity shut down, or even the excitement shut down. A lot of people don't want change, and that's why they're addicted to comfort and don't want to step into challenge. If you're here, chances are you might be building a business or building, obviously building a life and stepping into all of this. We need to embrace all of this. These are real needs. The six core needs of Tony Robbins, both comfort and discomfort's on there. Spontaneity is on there. We need variation and adventure. The thing is these needs mess people up all the time. And sometimes it's even the core of self-sabotage too, when it comes to really achieving the outcomes that you want. This need messes people up all the time because we need to have a conscious awareness of where and how to fill these needs. So you get a good thing going. Maybe you've done this. You've got a good thing going. You're consistently doing it. You've overcome the challenge of getting started. And then you kind of, it feels like, oh, I've got it stuck in a rut. Or not even stuck in a rut, just in a rut. I'm like, oh, this is not fun anymore. And unconsciously, it's almost like, how can I mess this up? Or it might be like, how can I change this up? How can I make this more interesting? And you start getting the inconsistent results, right? It messes you up all the time. The key is, it's really, really important to understand you must fill these needs, but not in the area that you're trying to be consistent in. So support them, appreciate them, fulfill them. Your need for variation, adventure, challenge, change, excitement, spontaneity. Fill them. But don't do it where you're trying to develop consistency. It's just not the place. it will mess your strategy up in getting consistent results. The point is, consistency is boring. Yes, it's mundane, accept that. And where you want the challenge and the change and the adventure, develop it somewhere where that is the outcome. You don't need a different outcome. It's simply go and get it. That's why I love riding motorbikes, because it gives me all of that, or adventure sports, or whatever it is. I don't go and do motorbike riding and adventure sports and all of those things to get fit. I do it simply to give me the excitement that I want. If I want to get fit, I'll go to CrossFit every day. And as much as I love it, it also sucks. Or go and just run on the treadmill or outside, even better if you can. That's where you get it. It's not about getting the excitement and the change and switching it up. We're developing consistency here. So I hope and I trust this has given you some further insights on how you can, why consistency is important, but also how to develop it. And as we've been going through this conversation, I imagine the area that's important for you to really start considering what your outcome is, what strategy it is that you need, or who you need to connect with that has a successful strategy for creating that outcome. And then bring a sense of, I think it takes a sense of maturity, emotional maturity, but also like maturity to start showing up for it and going, okay, this outcome is important enough to me. I'm emotionally connected enough to this outcome that I'm going to be okay being bored in it. This is something I took from my mentor, Matt Lavaz. He's like, oh yeah, I was just practicing my boredom. It cracked me up, and I was like, that is so good. I need to practice more boredom. So what that means is sitting in the discomfort of doing absolutely nothing and not pulling out the phone, not trying to fix the mood of it. It's just getting comfortable in the boredom. And when I started practicing boredom, I realized that I was able to become way more consistent in the areas that I need to show up to that are mundane. And that helped me develop that consistency as well. So I hope and I trust that you've loved this conversation. Please, as I say, bring more of this conversation, whether it's the teacher learns the most. So what have you learned, what you've connected with, what you've resonated? I challenge you to go away, share it with a friend, a family, a partner, what you're inspired by, and see how they respond. Teach it to someone else. The more we can bring these conversations to life, the more that we're going to be collectively better together. So thank you so much, and I look forward to introducing my next guest on the show next week. Come in, tune in, and let's rock out together.